Good evening, everyone. This is the National Finance Committee meeting of May 12th, 2015. My name is Brian Edwards-Tika. I'm the chair of the committee. Our secretary, R. Paul Martin, is unable to attend tonight's meeting, and Michael Novick has volunteered to be acting secretary in his stead. Does anyone object to Michael acting as secretary for this meeting? Hearing no objection, he'll be our secretary pro tem, and I will start by calling the roll because I'm doubting that you okay. have a list handy, Michael.
I do. Actually, I just pulled it up.
Oh, you do? Great. Please call the roll.
Yes. Sure. Lydia Bazun. Adriana Casanave.
She's here.
I think she's muted. Okay. Bill Crozier is here.
I'm here.
Brian Edwards-Tika, the chair, is here. Marcus Jetter. R. Paul Martin, I think. Can't be here, is that right? Tony Norman. This is Michael Novick. Serene Roberts.
Present.
Raul Salvador.
Present.
And Barbara Whipperman. Not here yet, but that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and I think that's quorum, right? Yeah.
Great. Thanks, Michael. I sent out a draft agenda for review, and my apologies, I only sent it about an hour ago. Do I have a motion to approve it? I have that from Serene Roberts. Any objection to the agenda? Hearing none.
Ryan?
Yes.
I want to, I don't know, you put it whenever you want. I want a few minutes to do a recognition, public recognition.
Okay. How about we put that under as our last item on new business to close the meeting?
Yeah, maybe, whatever you want. I don't.
Sorry,
I think that,
that
we do it before the all the reports, but that's okay.
Well, if you want to do it right now, Adriana, why don't you go ahead?
Yes. Okay.
I'm sorry, what is the item?
It's a public recognition. We're not going to add it as an agenda item because it requires no action by the body.
Okay, fine.
But go ahead, Adriana. Adriana, are you on mute?
And this is Bill. I have sent emailed a few minor amendments too. So after she gets that, I'd like to get back to agenda approval.
Hello.
Somebody.
Adriana.
Again?
Yes.
If you would like to make your commendation, that would be a good time.
Yes, I'm sorry. I was in mute. I couldn't unmute. Well, I'm Adriana Casnay from KPFT. Houston, in the name of KPFT listeners, I apologize to our sister station KPFA because according to the intercompany payable information between 2013 and 2003, KPFA paid for the shortcomings of KPFT and Pacifica Radio Archives combined. We in Houston were permanently warned about the West Coast sister station, KPFA especially, because we were told over and over that they were bringing the foundation on our KPFA station down. The intercompany payable info based on the past approved audits showed that those were lies. KPFA could not survive this past 12 years without KPFA help. Now you are coming to save my station again, loaning us a big chunk of the cost of replacing the dying KPFT transmitter. From the bottom of my heart, thank you, big sister KPFA station. That's it.
That's very sweet. Did you want to say something nice about Raul, too?
Yes. Yes, sure. I was thinking that I would say it after his report, obviously. Yes.
Okay. All right. On the agenda, Bill, you said you wanted to propose amendments?
Yeah, sorry, I had to unmute myself. Yeah,
Bill, you'll have to take yourself off mute.
Okay, yeah, sorry, I just did. I emailed them to you. They're brief, but I'll read them for the stream. Amendment number one, a move that due to the need to discuss other important financial issues than just major payables, that item four, parenthesis, CFO report and discussion of major payables, be changed to CFO report and discussion, including major payables. So in other words, to allow other issues besides major payables to be discussed.
And got it. That was my intention with the agenda.
Right, okay.
Is there any objection to that amendment?
He wants more time.
And further, that the time for this item be set for 60 minutes.
Okay, let's take those one at a time.
Okay.
Is there any objection to making the language of the CFO report item inclusive enough to entertain questions other than about major payables? Hearing no objection, that's
hello,
adopted.
Hello, sorry, I was on mute.
Go ahead, Raul.
This is Raul. I had planned to be out here before 7 o'clock. I wanted to see if I could get out at 6:30. There's a lot of things that I need to do with the controller, and then I have a commitment afterwards. So, I mean, it's fine, but I would leave by 6:30 today.
Okay. I certainly understand that. The question is just the language, not the length, for the moment. Any objection on the language? Hearing none, then the CFO report will include questions about payables, not be exclusive to questions about payables. The second question was about extending the CFO report to 60 minutes, which would take it by the past the time that Raul said he will have to leave tonight. Is there any objection to that amendment?
Yes, this is Lydia.
Okay, Michael Novick, can you call the roll?
Okay, Lydia Bozon.
Can I motivate it slightly?
No. This is just for the 60 minutes, right?
Bill, you can motivate if you want, but I'm going to point out the longer we spend in debate, the less of Raul's time we're going to get.
Well, my point is that we have a lot of important financial issues to discuss, and this may be the last chance we get to talk about Brother Raul, so I'd like to add more time for that.
Great. Thank you. Michael, can you call the roll?
Yeah, Lydia Brazon, I'm extending that time.
No.
Adriana Castaneve?
No.
Bill Crozier?
Yes.
Brian Evans Tickert?
Abstain.
Is Marcus Jeter on the call yet? No. Tony Norman on the call? No. This is Michael Novick. I'm going to pass. Serene Roberts?
Abstain.
Will Salvador?
No.
Barbara Wilferman, not on the call yet. I'll just switch to abstain on my pass. So that's three no's, one yes, three no's, and three abstains.
The amendments fails. Any further amendments to... Go ahead, Serene.
Just to correct the numbering of the items, we went to from four to six.
I was hoping you wouldn't catch that. Five is a secret item.
Ah, okay. Also, we need to strike minutes.
We'll dispose of that when we get to it. Doesn't require an amendment.
No problem.
I think if everyone's on board with the fact that six comes after four, and the person who put the agenda together was missing a couple circuits this afternoon, that shouldn't require an amendment either. Any further amendments to the agenda?
It's Bill.
Go ahead, Bill.
And this could be after Raul leaves, but can we get an update on how the fund drives and the budget development process are going for each station? That shouldn't take long either.
You want that under new business? What about time limit?
Yes. 10 minutes.
fund drive status for 10 minutes under new business is the proposal. Is there any objection?
Well, fund drives and the development budget development process. Just curious how that's going everywhere.
Fund drives and budget development.
Right, because we had amended the timeline at our last meeting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there any objection to that amendment? Hearing none, that's now part of the agenda. I'm going to ask you all to hold on for 1 second. Barbara Whipperman is calling me. I think she may have trouble getting on the call. She was apparently on a different conference line. She'll be joining us shortly. Apologies for that. Next item on our agenda is minutes approval. Because of Arpal's unforeseeable conflict, he does not have any new minutes ready for us.
I have one more minute to the agenda amendment. It could extend the adjournment time instead of 6:30 Pacific to 7:30 Pacific. Of course, you can always move to adjourn any time before then, but I don't want to cut the discussion too short.
Okay. The motion from Bill Crozier is to extend the adjournment time by an hour. Is there any objection to that motion?
This is Lydia.
Is it an objection, Lydia?
Yes.
Okay. Bill, do you want to motivate or can we just vote?
No, you can just vote. Same reasons I had before.
Okay.
Is that Barbara?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, the vote is on extending the adjournment time by an hour. Michael, can you please call the roll?
Lydia Brazon?
No.
Adriana Castaneve?
No.
Bill Crozier?
Yes.
Ryan Edzatikert?
No.
Marcus Jeter, still not on. Tony Norman, still not on. Michael Novi votes no. Serene Roberts?
No.
Raul Salvador?
No.
Barbara Whipperman?
No.
One yes, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven no's.
Amendment fails. Any further amendments to the agenda? Hearing none, is there any objection to the agenda as amended? Hearing none, we're now on the agenda. Next item is minutes approval. We have no minutes to approve. We're on to the next item, which is the CFO report. Raul, take it away.
Okay. I just want, before I leave Pacific, I just wanted to update on a few items that are still pending as of today. And I'll start with the CPB, the AFR submission of to the website, to ISIS website. That's being done right now, and we just completed entering all the five radio stations AFRs into the ISIS, to the CPB's ISIS system. And after this meeting, I will work with reviewing all the entries. And after that, it needs to be signed by the head of grantee. And we may need to provide John Profit with access, our log into the ISIS program, our website, so that he can sign off on that. And that would be done by tomorrow, hopefully, if he's available to do that. And then after that, the report itself will be certified by the independent accountant, our accountant, Armenino, who would also be provided with an ISIS login, so he can, they can review the information that we entered and ensure that all the information are taken from the audited financial statements, and that will complete the AFRs. not because the AFRs are done, that we are done with the other filing requirements. Otis McClay should be also doing the non-financial requirements of the quarterly filing. On the audit, year-end audit, the closing, we are still working on the schedules. We have hired a new person to replace the original temporary employee that resigned as of last week, and we have a new person that's helping out, and we're also in the process of hiring another person to complete the schedules. Armanino, we spoke to Armanino, and they indicated to us that they wanted to meet with the new ED to go over some of the engagement for 2015, and also provide us with the audit schedules. On the budgeting process has already been developed. Unfortunately, I was not able to finish the national budget for 2016. We are pretty close, so I should be able to get that over to you guys, because I haven't presented this budget to the new executive director, who only started yesterday. So, but I'm still developing some of the items that we have for 2016. We started with KPFK. We met with the GM and the station treasurer, Michael Novick, last Monday, May 4th, just to go over the process. We provided them with a template to produce the projected 2015 as the initial process for the budgeting. And we distributed each individual station's template for to project the 2015 year-end results. So basically incorporating the first 6 months of the year and the general managers projected for the remainder of the this fiscal year, so that we can have a realistic year-end result a week that can become basis for developing the 2016 budget. So that's kind of the process for the 2016 budget. The KPFT transmitter is, in fact, we are going to, KPFA is, as Joanna had indicated earlier, KPFA is sending and making KPFT $100,000 to start the project, the transmitter project, and the funds will be sent out to KPFT this week. And the I still don't have any updates on the ongoing fund drive for the five stations. But as we soon as we develop them, we'll be able to get that sent out to the committee as well as to the PNB. We're also working with the Elections Committee on the budget and the timetable that was submitted by the National Election Supervisor. So that's an ongoing. We haven't hired the local station election supervisors, and that should be hired around June 1st. So we have indicated to the station managers to anticipate the additional expense. Although it was budgeted in the 2015 budget, it is important that we allocate actual funds to pay that as of June. And that's it. And obviously, lastly, this week is my last week CFO for Pacifica Foundation. I have tendered my resignation, and I'm going to. I have offered to assist after May 15th. To if there are any questions or things that needed to be addressed that I might have knowledge, I'll be available for Pacifica. And hopefully everything will be taken care of. I just wanted to wish everybody at Pacifica the best, and hopefully they become strong and survive for the future. And I'll be a supporter. I'll be listening to Pacifica in Los Angeles, and I will be very much in touch with what's going on Pacifica. And hopefully, and who knows, maybe I'll be back at a different capacity as a listener and as a listener membership, a member, and maybe participate in the process. Thank you, everybody.
I'm sorry.
Thank you, Raul, very much.
Well, I'm going to abuse the chair's privilege before I get to the stack and just take a minute to say, Raul, that it has been an absolute pleasure working with you. I've been on and off of this committee for the past 12 years, and you are without a doubt the strongest CFO we have ever had in that position. The situation you came into, we had been completely in the dark about the network's finances. We had not gotten any financial statements from when I joined the board in January of 2013 until after you came on board. And since you've been able to perform your job full time, we've started getting financial statements on a regular basis. They have been more and more granular and detailed and accurate with each passing month. We've successfully completed two audits under your supervision. We're on track, thanks to you, to get our CPB money reinstated. And I know there's been improvements in our accounting personnel so that we will have more capacity to keep accurate books going forward than we did when you got back into your office. So from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you for everything you've done in what is a far from easy job under far from ideal circumstances. So thank you, and good luck. And
thank
with
you,
that,
appreciate that,
I will take the stack. I heard Adriana. Who else?
Barbara,
who else? Okay, Adriana, go ahead.
Yes. First of all, Raul, I want to use the opportunity to tell you publicly my immense gratitude to all for all you did for a Pacifica Foundation CFO in the last year since you started working at the national office again. Not quite a year yet. I never saw or heard of any other time in the Pacifica Foundation history when the PND and the National Finance Committee received as much financial info as you gave us. Thank you, Raul. And then my question. You told us about the $100,000 that KPFA is loaning KPFT to replace the transmitter. I want to know which is the process that is in place for this, because I'm worried that if the money goes to the station, things could happen. On April 15, 2015, our GM told us that we have $62,000 towards the transmitter. 5 days later, April 20, he told us that we have only $23,000. The rest was just in papers, he said. Not really. And I don't want anything happening to $100,000 because our transmitter is dying. We cannot collect money if we cannot communicate with the listeners. Everybody knows that. And I want to be sure that the money is safe for that purpose.
Yes. Well, it is a condition and an understood and agreed by KPFTGM that number one, that this is being treated as a loan, and second, that it will be strictly used for that particular purpose. And everybody's on that, including our new executive director, and that it is going to be a fund that's going to be restricted for its particular use. I was just talking to our folks at KPFA while that this transfer of funds will be transferred to a separate account so that we could have oversight and accounting, a constant accounting and monitoring of that funds. The amount that you were referring to, the $50,000 originally, and then there was only like $23,000, that was because some of the funds were apparently used for other purpose, and but it was as a loan, and every intention to be refunded to that fund. So right now there's about $23,000 in available cash for that transmitter, plus $100,000. You have about $123,000 of liquid funds that will be spent on this project. Now, the project is approximately about $180,000, maybe $200,000, depending on the how long it's going to take to install. But obviously, there's not enough money yet for the entire project. So the capital fund, the loan, one of the conditions is that the KPFT the station will continue its capital campaign to augment the remainder of the funds needed to complete the project, and any excess of that will be used to pay KPFA right away upon receipt of those excess campaign. So there will be oversight of these funds. There will be a separate account where these funds is going to be deposited, which is this week, and it will be monitored here at the national office, and to ensure that all these are accounted for. Thank you.
I'm sorry. Follow up.
What?
Go ahead, Adriana.
Raul, I understand what you said, but before we have it, the 52,000 before and then we have 10,000, we are in a special account. I want to be absolutely sure that nobody can get those funds more that is specific for that reason. We made campaigns before for the same reason, and the money is not there. I understand that sometimes, like they say, you need to pay the electricity bill, you need to pay employees. But the reality is that we showed with the intercompany payables that we accumulate $500 million in a little bit more than 10 years. It means always will be needed. I want to be sure that the money is not used for any other purposes, because we were told the same story before, and we are now only with 23,000 extra. I don't want this to keep happening. Is there any way that we can be sure that nothing else will happen more than going to the transmitter?
Well, that's exactly what I was suggesting, that we will monitor it from the national office. Again, maybe you guys at the end of, in Houston will be able to devise a plan to promote transparency on the usage and the disbursement of these funds. I don't know if that's efficient and that's effective for KPFT, but I do believe that there's got to be some kind of an approval process that should happen locally to approve those allowed expenses before it is disbursed out for this particular project. So I don't know, but I think from the standpoint of the national office, we will monitor the disbursement out of that account. I have given instruction to transfer these funds to a separate account, not to the operating account, so that we'll be able to monitor the activities in that particular bank account.
Okay, next on stack I have Barbara. Go ahead, Barbara.
And Bill,
well,
stack.
Got you, Bill. Go ahead, Barbara.
I don't have any questions about your report, but just want to thank you again for them, all of them. And I want to also mention, I don't know we can call our financial office, our national office, calm, but I think it is much more calm than it used to be, and I'm really impressed with the ability that people have had to work through the difficult recovery of records, and I thank you very much for all of your expertise and help in keeping it a very taking a bad situation and making it something hopeful that we can see. Thank you anyway, Raul.
Thank you, Barbara.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. I've got Bill on stack. Anyone else?
Serene, please.
I've got Bill and then Serene. Go ahead, Bill.
Okay, thanks. And I do wish you the best of luck, Raul, in your future endeavors, whatever they are. I don't get a chance to answer any of the other questions that I emailed, but let me just touch on a couple of them. The some of this KPFK restricted funds, do you know what the plans are for restoring those restricted funds for the Studio A project and the Indiegogo project, and I'm not sure what else?
Based on my last conversation with the IGM, he indicated to me that, in fact, some of the expenses for the Indiegogo and some of the other projects that they're having with the separate fund, they have borrowed from their operating expense and need to be sent back to the those funds. They're also trying to do an accounting of that. Last week when we talked about it, that they are in the process of separating the funds that came from that was received from that those projects, and then also the expenses. Unfortunately, I think at this time it was commingled in the operating expenses.
But I take it they are. You do plan to restore the funds that were restricted by the donors?
That's the GM's, IGM's plan is to restore those, yes.
Okay, and then could I also ask about the whatever happened, and this is something from last summer, but the $150,000 donation from the Toyoshima family to Pacifica National, I don't think it ever showed up in the books that I saw, and I'm still not clear what happened to that. It was about the time of the original Anagnos loan that was made to pay the taxes on the WBAI severance. That was, you know, that was $156,000.
Well, it was deposited to the operating account, as I have announced it during that time. At the time of the receipt, it was used for operating expenses.
For the national office?
Yeah. It was donated to the national office. It was just like any other donation to the national office. It was deposited to the national office operating account.
Okay, well, okay, I'll skip possible follow-up questions there, I guess. But did you?
What follow-up questions do you have on
well,
that one?
Well, like, why did we get a loan for almost the same amount to pay the severance at WBAI if that was, it had just come in?
Why? Well, I believe that that loan was not intended to pay that $100,000. Was $150,000 donation was not intended to pay that loan. In addition, I think that loan came. I don't know which came first, but there are two different transactions. So I don't know why that would be allocated to the WBAI's. Severance payment. I don't think that was part of the whole discussion, and I think the money, if I can remember, came after the loan was done and the severance payment was paid off.
Okay, well, let me. I know we're running short on time. Is there anything else you want to say about the major payables? I have some questions about that and what I emailed to you.
Well, generally speaking, but the report on the major payables are just those that that the stations are anticipating to pay out, not necessarily those that are in the books. Just like the Democracy Now, we do not anticipate that we're going to pay that. I thought
the report was based on the premise that what are your immediate and the next projected expenditures in the next few months, or so that we could, we'd know that we whether or not we have funds. So those were not taken into account. Those were input from the local management, local station management, and that they are not the accounting payables, so to speak. Those are two different things. The accounting payables is not the major accounts payable. We just indicated whatever the station felt that it's going to be due in a certain period of time, not necessarily what's on the books. Like I said, the national office...
Cash flow.
The national office, it does not anticipate that it will pay Democracy Now. BAI does not anticipate that it will pay a huge sum of money to our landlord and so on and so forth. So those things are probably not included. And we, I think the original request came from the fact that how are we managing our cash, and how are we spending them, and what are immediate uses for those funds. So that's the report that you had received from the stations and from me.
Okay. I guess let's go on to the next person. Thank you.
And just to clarify on an earlier point, Bill, the Toyoshima bequest arrived in January of 2014, and it's shown in that month in the preliminary income statement that Raul provided us. And the loan from Aras Anagnos to pay off WBAI's back taxes was not approved by the PNB until September. Serene, you're next.
Okay, thanks. I don't have any specific questions with regard to the report. I just wanted to thank you for your work and hope that your next environment is healthier.
Thank you.
Thank you, Serene. Anyone else to stack?
Michael Novick.
We've got Michael. Who else? Go ahead, Michael.
Well, I just wanted to say on the in response to Bill's question about the repayment for the Indiegogo account, which was the money that was raised to purchase television equipment for Uprising. That has been repaid as of this month. There was about $23,000 that was used from that account after other purchases have been made of the TV equipment, and that's been reimbursed to that account. We're still trying to find out the details of the restricted account for the Studio A project, and are still waiting for clear answers on when the money was used, what it was used for, and how it has been, what's been reimbursed or not up to this point. I have another question, but it escapes me, so I'm sorry. But I guess it will come up again when we talk about the budget process. And
okay. I've got 4 minutes remaining in this report. Does anyone else want to get on stack or back on stack? All right, if there's no one else who wants to talk, then we will move right along. Next, we're on to new business. And our first item is a special rule I noticed after our last meeting regarding reports. The language of the special rule is as follows. During the question period following reports, any committee member may ask no more than 3 questions or follow-ups before yielding the floor to the next member on stack. There shall be no limit on how many times a committee member may put herself on stack, but members who have not yet obtained the floor shall take priority over those who have already had it. I'll motivate it briefly by just saying I want to make sure that when our time is limited or when our CFO's time is limited, that we have a way to equitably distribute committee members' chances to ask questions of that person. And I also want to respect that often it takes follow-up questions to get to the nut of an issue. To me, this seems to be a way to balance it, and not having a rule puts me and Chair in the uncomfortable position as having to cut people off when they seem to be going on too long, which can easily come across as arbitrary. So I'd just like to have a hard rule to go by. This would take a two-thirds vote to prevail. Does anyone wish to comment on it or argue against it?
Barbara for a comment.
And Bill.
I've got Barbara and Bill. Anyone else? Go ahead, Barbara.
I like the rule. I think it's a good idea. And this will sound really picky, but I wish it said him or herself. I don't like this choice of the pronoun. I don't know. Anyway, that's just a small point.
You're certainly welcome to move that as an amendment if you wish.
I move it as an amendment.
Okay. Is there any objection to amending herself to read him or herself? Hearing none, that amendment is now part of the motion. Go ahead, Bill.
Okay, thank you. I think the real problem is that we're arbitrarily limiting the total time for the meetings too much. If we had reasonable length for the meetings, then this rule wouldn't be an issue. I mean, the special rule sounds reasonable in its, by itself. I agree with allowing everybody equal time to ask questions and then participate in a discussion. But I think, like, the last two, this meeting and then the one before, limiting them so much, like we're limiting this to less than an hour total time, is really, I think it's irresponsible. We have so many really serious financial issues facing Pacifica. And if we had enough discussion time, then we wouldn't need this rule, it wouldn't be a problem. And so I'd like to make an amendment that the meetings normally be scheduled for at least 2 hours. Is that, add that in addition to this special rule. And then I'd be glad to support it.
Bill, do you want to set out a proposed language in writing indicating where you would like to insert it into the proposed rule?
Okay. Give me just a minute.
Does anyone else wish to speak to this while Bill's working on that in writing?
Yeah.
I've got Adriana. Who else? Go ahead, Adriana.
Yes, I believe that the idea of this ruling is really good because our experience, or at least my experience, in some involved with Pacifica, first like a listener and then LSV and then PAB member, that the open sessions are being used, to like propaganda machines. I mean, we are sometimes coaching or telling employees what to do in an open session. We are trying to establish points that are not true. And I think that it's a good idea that we just work. I mean, the idea of the committee, we work. We ask questions and we wait for the answer. And we don't need all this chat in the middle to reiterate and over and over what we think that the others are doing wrong. I think that the idea of this rule is very good because in some of the past meetings, I feel the same way. I mean, finally, we didn't have enough time. You know, some of us didn't have enough time even to make our, to question, the year forward asking questions. And I think that it's a really great idea. Thank you.
Okay. The issue before us is now Michael's amendment. Sorry, Bill's amendment. Bill, have you had a chance to send that out yet?
I have one more thing to say then.
Not quite.
Go ahead, Barbara.
Well, I'm a little unclear as to what Adriana's point was. Just, you seem to be back from your phone and I can't catch every other word once in a while, but I'm looking at the very beginning of this statement, during the question period, following reports. And that's all this is talking about, is kind of making a rule of order for how we have questions and answers after someone's giving a report, and I don't really see how that relates to jumping to say all meetings must be, I don't know what it is you're saying, 3 hours. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me to add that into this this rule about how we conduct ourselves after someone's given a report. We do have sometimes items on the agenda that are discussion. And so I don't think we're missing out on discussion opportunities when the subject is needed to be discussed. Anyway, that's my point.
Okay. We now have the proposed amendment in writing. It is to append the following sentence to the end of the proposed special rule. Meetings of the National Finance Committee shall be scheduled for at least 2 hours in order to allow adequate discussion time. Does anyone wish to discuss the amendment any further?
Serene.
Go ahead, Serene.
Yeah, it is. I can certainly understand setting an end time, which is to say a maximum amount of time, but I don't think we need to say we're going to be on for 2 hours because we want to be on for 2 hours, even if there's not 2 hours worth of work to do. I mean, obviously, we can all talk quite a bit, and we can go for 2 hours saying virtually nothing almost any time, but I'm going to vote against this motion. I don't think we should have a mandatory minimum when it comes to the time of the meeting.
Any further debate, or shall we call a vote on the amendment?
Bill from the stack.
I've got Bill. Did I hear another voice? Go ahead, Bill.
Well, notice that on the amendment that I said that it be scheduled for at least 2 hours in order to allow adequate discussion time. There's nothing that would prevent anybody from moving to adjourn before then. I just don't want to arbitrarily limit the length of the meeting to an hour like we have tonight, and then not have enough time for people to discuss things that need to be discussed.
Bill, is it your interpretation of your motion that it would require a two-thirds vote to adjourn before 2 hours were up?
No, a motion to adjourn is always in order. It only takes a majority for any committee, any meeting.
This is Lydia.
Go ahead, Lydia.
Yes, well, first of all, at the beginning of every meeting, we get to approve or amend an agenda. So if we have a heavy subject or something, we can certainly extend the time then. These are just draft agendas anyway, so I don't see the necessity for this, for the amendment to the rule. So I will support the rule, but I will be voting against the amendment.
Okay. Any further debate on the amendment?
Bill,
hearing none, Mike. Bill, you've spoken twice to the amendment. You can't speak again, I'm afraid. Oh, I'm sorry. We're committee. You can. Go ahead.
Committee. Well, just respond to Lydia. It's just that tonight's meeting is a good example of this. We wouldn't have this issue about not having enough time for everybody to speak if the meeting was long enough.
Any further debate, or can we call the roll? Hearing no further debate, Michael, can you please call the vote on the amendment only?
Okay, this is on the amendment to schedule the meeting.
To add the sentence?
Yes.
The following sentence at the end of the proposed rule. Quote, meetings of the National Finance Committee shall be scheduled for at least 2 hours in order to allow adequate discussion time. End quote.
Okay, so on that amendment, Lydia Rosen?
No.
Adriana Castaneve?
No.
Bill Crozier?
Yes.
Ryan Edwards Speaker?
No.
Michael Novak, I'm going to vote no. Three Roberts?
No.
Roel Salazar?
Oh.
Barbara Whipperman?
No.
One in favor, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 opposed.
Okay, the amendment fails. we're on to the motion, which has not been amended. Does anyone wish to debate this further, or may we call a vote?
It was amended to say him or herself.
Oh, thank you for clarifying that, Michael. We're back to the motion as amended to read him or herself. Does anyone wish to debate it further? Hearing no further debate, Michael, would you please call the vote on the motion as amended? The rule is amended.
Sorry, did you ask for objections? Did you ask for any objections?
Is there any objection to this rule?
Yes. Okay. Bill.
Michael, please call the roll.
Okay, Lydia Bozeman?
Yes.
Adriana Castaneda?
Yes.
Bill Crozier?
No.
Brian Ezra-Tika?
Yes.
I'm going to abstain. Serene Roberts?
Yes.
Paul Salvador?
Yes.
Barbara Whitman?
Yes.
That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in favor. One opposed, one abstention.
So the special rule has passed by the requisite two-thirds majority. That will be our rule moving forward. We're on to our final item, which was a check-in on fund drives and budget preparation. I guess we can go station by station. Why don't we start in New York? What's going on, Serene?
You know, I don't know how the drive is doing. It is our eighth day. I don't know how well it's doing. I can't really tell if I'm on the air. And the Finance Committee has not met and has not, therefore, had any discussions with regard to the budget.
Do we have anyone here from Washington? Okay. Moving on to Houston. Bill, how's your fund drive and budget prep?
Well, we're on the 19th day of a 21-day drive. We're a little under goal. Looks like we'll probably end up between 75 and 80% of the goal. Let's see. And the budget preparations, we've had discussions on budget priorities. The LSB's meeting tomorrow. I don't know if they'll actually get to that item on the agenda, but we do have a list of budget priorities that we've developed, and we're having another committee meeting of our local budget committee next week to go over those in more detail.
And Bill, is the station has no plans to extend its fund drive to reach goal?
No, usually what we do is if we were short, we start the next one early or the equivalent, some other way of making up the drive. It gets to be really complicated extending a drive at the end because people have already made plans and people are usually tired and worn out also, so it's not as effective anyway, extending it. Listeners and as well as volunteers and staff are expecting it to end and they don't like it. If they have, like this fund drive here, we actually started earlier than usual because we were short on the last fund drive. And that seems to work better. It makes the planning much better.
I'm sorry, Bill, can you repeat what you said about the budget process also? I'm trying to take notes and listen, and it's quite difficult.
Oh, sorry.
I can't believe it. We've
collected a list of priority items that people want to put into budget. That's for the timeline for this month. And the LSB might get to them tomorrow. They have a meeting tomorrow. Kind of doubtful they'll get to that item, but the local budget committee is also meeting in a week from tomorrow, and we'll try to finalize that as a committee. So the process is moving along.
Thank you.
Okay, moving to Los Angeles. Michael?
Okay, the fund drive is not doing very well here at all, which is kind of what I feared from having done the emergency drive, which was pretty successful, but the current scheduled regular May drive is averaging about $17,000 a day so far, and that's well below, you know, the projections, meaning that they would have to do about $47,000 a day for the rest of the drive to reach the goal. So that seems highly unlikely. And what we will do if it comes up short, I'm not currently privy to any plan. On the budget process, we did have the meeting that Raul mentioned, where Raul came down and met with myself, the interim general manager, and the interim business manager, and Mariana Berkovich, who is a part-time, working partly for us. And we reviewed the basically the first 6 months of actuals, which although the income on the income side actually was not as bad as we were thinking through March, which was actually before the emergency drive that we did, mostly before we were within about $50,000 of the projected budget, but our expenses for the current fiscal year, this is apart from making up the back expenses, was about $250,000 over budget, or $200,000 over budget. So we were about $300,000 off budget for the first 6 months of the fiscal year. And the proposal was that the local management had to, you know, kind of figure out the upcoming 6 months to try to come into line. And also, given the PNB previous, when the PNB approved the budget, it anticipated by the time the budget got to the PNB, we were already in this fiscal year, people remember, and it was clear that the revenue projections were not holding up. And so the mandate to the station was to cut expenses by $250,000. So that has still not yet happened, and is even more urgent because the expenses are over what were budgeted through this point. And so that's the current state of that. And that's also, we identified the need to have that, and also the audited 2013 and the unaudited 2014 figures, that we could use that as a basis for projecting fiscal year 2016. So that still needs to be done. We just had a finance committee meeting today, local finance committee meeting. But mainly we just were able to review those figures that I just described to you. We didn't have the April financials in yet. So I think that April would be substantially above budget on income because we did do the emergency drive, but I think we're paying the price now in May.
Okay.
As far as projecting the budget for the next fiscal year, I think the critical factor has to be at the management level to try to figure out how to bring expenses into line with income, which has been the case for some time.
Okay. Barbara, maybe you can take our state of budget preparation and I can take the fund drive for KPFA?
Well, I know very little about it except that the staff has been meeting on various topics and fronts, and the list that was prepared of things that are going to be covered by the bequests that we received are going to be big items in the budget. I'm actually thinking that the real budget meetings are the ones that are going to be advertised as available for LSB members to attend are yet to be planned. I don't know if you have any other information about that.
No, I don't.
I think that's kind of where we are there.
On the fund drive front, management at KPFA had lowered both the length of the fund drive and the goal proportionately from what was in our budget based on the windfall bequest revenues that we received this spring. They decided 18 days was a sustainable length of a fund drive, I guess. So our goal for the fund drive is now $580,000. For the first 3 days, our daily averages were about, in aggregate, about 30% behind what we would need to make that goal on time. And then it picked up. We've been averaging what we would need every day to make our goal for the past three business days. Weekends are different. And if it picks up further, then we'll be in striking distance of the goal. But, you know, more than half the drive is still in front of us.